It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. And I'm joined now by Washington Times political reporter Seth McLaughlin. Hello, Seth.
Hello, Andy. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. GOP sees path to White House from state capitol. Which governor has the best shot? Well, you know, at one point I would have said Bob McDonnell, but that didn't pan out real well with him raising taxes.
Well, Bob definitely has had a bit of a rocky road of late because of the transportation bill he got behind in Virginia, which opponents say raised taxes, and he's really kind of come under fire from Grover Norquist, the head of Americans for Tax Reform. People probably know him from his No New Tax Pledge, who have heavily criticized him for going down that road. So his star has been a little bit diminished, and what I looked at today in the story was in 2009, Bob McDonald and Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey were kind of the big, the young guns or the new faces out of the election that kind of gave the dejected Republican Party some hope going forward. You know, they had just gone through the 2008 election where President Obama won, defeated John McCain. Democrats held both chambers of Congress, so they were looking for a little bit of injection of energy, and these guys brought it. But now, you know, Christie, too, has found himself at odds with the party a little bit recently over funding for hurricane, hurricane relief related to Superstorm Sandy, where he thought House GOP should have moved faster on it than they did. And so that kind of came to fruition, a little bit of backlash in the fact that he didn't have a prime speaking spot this year at the Conservative Political Action Conference. Mm-hmm. So now the question is, who steps into that void? And there's a lot of different governors out there who have kind of made names for themselves. Scott Walker in Wisconsin, through the budget-busting stuff he has done, has become a big hero of the conservative movement. And then Bobby Jindal has kind of always lingered around. And he's done a lot of stuff with school choice, which has really become a big familiar sounding point for Republicans.
Yeah.
As well as tax reform. He has produced a tax reform plan that is getting some good play.
You know, Jindal has a little bit of baggage, though, because you may recall the day after the election, he started bashing Romney. I mean, just, it was unbelievable how he went after him with the fangs out, and here was a guy who was on my show on election day touting the virtues of Mitt Romney, and the very next day he's crucifying the guy.
Yeah, politics can be a mean business.
Yeah.
It shows how volatile a sport it is. You know, I was with Mitt Romney during the campaign when he actually flew down to Louisiana after they had their storm. I believe it was a storm that almost interrupted or, you know, canceled one day of the Republican National Convention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he was with Governor Jindal then. You know, the governor is trying to find his voice, I think, on the national stage. He's struggled a bit since he gave his 2009 rebuttal to President Obama's State of the Union, which was widely panned. He came off very flat, and he was just heavily criticized for it. You know, it was kind of his coming out party. And so I think he's tried to figure out ways around that, how to reestablish himself. But there's a lot of Republicans out there that say Jindal's soft spot right now is the fact that he really struggles when he speaks on the stump.
Mm-hmm.
He just comes off a little bit flat, unlike, you know, Governor Walker or some of these other folks that are.
Yeah. I noticed you mentioned Mike Pence of Indiana, former congressman and now the governor. He would probably make a good candidate. I just don't think he has the name recognition yet.
Yeah, I think Mike Pence, for some reason I associate him with somewhat of a Rick Santorum type candidate.
Yeah.
Where I think he has his credentials as a strong social conservative that he could do well in a state like Iowa,
mm-hmm.
Which have gone for Santorum this time around, went for Mike Huckabee the first time around. So, he has some play there. I think you're right. I think he's got to elevate his name as a governor, but, there's a lot of time and in states where Republicans have control of the legislature as well, which I'm not sure what the situation is in Indiana, but as governor, you can do a lot of things. You can push your agenda. You have the bully pulpit, and you can also control, in a lot of ways, the state media market, so you can control the narrative in a lot of ways. So if you want to be aggressive, and make a name for yourself, you have a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Well, Pence does have one blemish on his resume. He was a talk show host, so.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you're running for office.
Yeah. All right. Brian Sandoval of Nevada. What do you know about him?
I'm not an expert on Brian Sandoval, but I do know that the GOP has recruited him and Susana Martinez, the governor of New Mexico, who's a former Democrat turned Republican, to help them with their Hispanic outreach efforts. You know, Nevada and New Mexico have big Mexican-American populations, which is really a slice of the electorate that the GOP has struggled to reach out to.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, they're two people that have kind of shown that they might have something to offer the GOP. Susana Martinez gave one of the most well-received speeches over the summer at the Republican National Committee. I mean, she really had people revved up. So, again, there's say, a dozen or so faces out there that could make some moves and make a name for themselves on the national stage. And I would say that it is kind of interesting because if we look at the broad kind of GOP rethink that's been going on since the election, a lot of grassroots conservatives have been looking to the likes of like Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz for the direction and vision of where they think the party should go. And what is somewhat ironic about that is that these guys now inhabit what is basically the biggest establishment club in the world, the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
You know, so you have grassroots conservatives looking for guidance from the place that is seen as, like, you know, the club of the establishment.
Mm-hmm. I want to take you back to the governor's list for a minute. There was a name that we didn't talk about, Rick Perry of Texas. Now, obviously, he's been there. He's done that. And let's not forget, he jumped in and became the immediate front runner and then just totally screwed it up. So
yeah, I don't know if we've seen many cases where someone just shot into an election, you know, like a speeding bullet, and then came crashing down to earth like a lead brick. And a lot of that had to do, it seemed that Rick Perry just wasn't ready for, as they say, prime time. He was easily tripped up, and he had his infamous oops moment where he basically, you know, couldn't name the departments of that he would abolish, and that made it seem like he wasn't even on top of the policies that he wanted to push forward. But, you know, in politics, you can regroup. And so there is some talk that he is kind of getting his fundraising apparatus already together, and he is pondering the idea of giving it another stab. And if he does and he could actually be successful, it would be one hell of a political turnaround.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, now, the thinking behind selecting a governor over a member of the House or the Senate is what? Executive experience, balancing budgets? I mean, come on, we've seen governors make it to the White House in the past and never balance a budget.
Well, we are talking politics, so some of the time this stuff doesn't exactly translate into reality. Mm. But, you know, governors are forced, usually by state constitutions, to balance their budget. It does provide them with at least a talking point that makes them see, you know, a little bit, that allows them to distance themselves from what often happens in Washington, where, as we know, balanced budgets are kind of a figment of the imagination.
Yeah.
And they also, again, if you look at, they can control media markets, they can push their agendas. You know, if you're in the U.S. Senate, you can push your agenda, but you're one of 50. Yeah. So it's very easy for your stuff just to get tossed back at you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a governor, and if you're in a state where, again, you have Republican legislature on your side, you can make a lot of moves and you can get stuff done. And at the same time, these guys inherently are closer to the ground. And so they might have a better take or a better policy prescription sometimes for the kind of the kitchen table issues that people care about. So that's the thinking. How that translates to history is, you know, up for debate, I guess.
Yep. The story is GOP sees path to White House from state capitol. Which governor has best shot? It's by Seth McLaughlin. It's in today's Washington Times. Seth, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
It is 4:27, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.